what's your name, sir? Okay, if you could just hold on for a moment, as the Honorable Ms. Windhouse is going to conduct your hearing, but we do need to make one phone call, and as soon as I make the phone call, as soon as Mr. Johnson makes it on my behalf, then the next voice after that will be the Honorable Ms. Windhouse, who will conduct your hearing, sir. Since we have him on, we need your help. I need your help, sir. This number right here. Participate in the hearing for Mr. Gardner this morning. Am I correct?
That is correct, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're about to get started, so if you can just hold on, the Honorable Ms. Windhouse will be conducting the hearing. Mr. Gardner, you still on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Attorney, you still on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, the next rush that you will hear will be the Honorable Ms. Windhouse, who will be conducting the hearing.
Good morning. Mr. Gardner?
Yes, sir.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Paul Edwin Gardner, 079027.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 412B parole hearing, which would be a parole to a consecutive sentence or absolute discharge today, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. Present in the room, we have the Honorable Louis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today, sir. Mr. Gardner, we also have, and I believe you may already know this, we also have a representative from the Coconino County Attorney's Office participating by telephone today. Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Gardner, I'd like to start with a brief, just kind of a brief summary, and I may ask you to correct me if I've got something wrong or verify if you know a particular that I may have got wrong here. It appears Mr. Gardner is 49 years old. He is serving a life sentence for the crime of murder in the first degree, which occurred on September 26, 1989, and the parole today would be a parole to a consecutive life sentence for another murder in first degree. These crimes occurred, it appears, when he was about 20. Mr. Gardner, is that right? You're about 20?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And he was convicted in the jury trial on March 2nd of 1990. And sentenced on May 1st, 1990. His eligibility for parole is effective May 23rd, 2015. So he has been eligible for his parole since that date. And just looking at his Mr. Gardner's prison discipline history, yes, he has moderate amount of discipline, not extreme for the amount of time that he's done. He does have 10 majors. I think his last discipline was back in 07. I'll verify that quickly. But he, let me see, still looking. No, his last major was in 07. His last discipline was in 2012. So more than 5 years ago, had a couple of minors in 2012. But the last major was back in 07. And he has several disciplines I noticed for drug-related. So there's a couple of 03, 1, 2, 3 drug-related disciplines in 03, two in 2004, one in 2005, and one in 2007. So, Mr. Gardner, had you been involved in drug use in prison?
Yes, in the past.
Okay, and what drug, was there any drug in particular, or just anything, or?
Anything.
Pretty much anything. So those, if we looked up the details on those, it would be any number of different drugs that you were doing for?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. And when's the last time you used any drugs?
2007.
Oh, okay, so that's been all that time. So you've got a good solid 11 years of sobriety then. Okay, so let's see what else here. I'm looking at programs that you have completed. It looks like there's not a lot of recent programming, but you've done some Design for Living, Thinking Straight, Substance Abuse Education, the Cultural Diversity class, and then some trades, custodial, computer technology, and business technology. Any others, Mr. Gardner?
No, sir.
Okay. And were you interested, were you thinking of, like, in getting involved in business, or is that why you took the computer in business?
I was just interested in learning.
Okay, so you just were interested in those. If you could choose a career, what kind of work would you do, sir?
Geez, I haven't even given that a whole lot of thought.
Okay, well, might want to think about that sometime. Let's see, we don't have a release plan, as this particular parole hearing is not for release to the streets. Mr. Gardner, do you have family in Arizona or friends in Arizona?
I have some friends, no family.
No family in Arizona. Where's your family?
Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska.
Oh, so all pretty much far away.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have brothers, sisters, spouses?
One sister.
One sister? Okay. All right. And do you have any children, sir?
No, sir.
No children. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk to you a little bit about the crime itself. So it looks like this occurred in September of 89. And why don't you tell us what happened that day? What was going on? What was your life like at the time? And what happened the day of that crime?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
I've talked about it to this board four times already.
Okay, well,
I can tell you now that I haven't already said.
Well, just for your information, the personnel on this board changes. So there are some of us who haven't heard that, haven't heard from you. So I don't know if you'd like to change your thought on that.
I'm pretty certain you guys have already made up your minds.
Well, Mr. Gardner, I will just tell you, as one voting member of this board, I do not make up my mind, in fact. A lot of what, when I make my decision in particular, a lot of it is on what I hear from the individual, because the people change, and there's a lot that can be learned just from talking with you. So anyway, since you don't want to talk about the crime, and I'll give you one more opportunity if you'd like to, then I have a letter from the Coconino County Attorney's Office dated December 20, 2018, which does give a brief summary. I'll just try to summarize this. It just appears that Mr. Gardner had an addiction at the time to crack cocaine. So he had finished some work, he had finished his work for the day and had smoked some marijuana, drove around a bit, had some cocaine, and went back home about 3:30 in the morning. Had a confrontation with his father in those early hours in the kitchen, and Mr. Gardner, Mr. Paul Gardner, it looks like, grabbed a knife and began to stab his father, and continually stabbed his father until it kind of left him there to die in the family room, and then went to find his mother and went to her bed and stabbed her again, and the fatal wound for his mother was the one that pierced her heart and severed her aorta. So consequently, he was convicted of two terms of first degree, two life sentences for first degree murder. So Mr. Gardner, at the time of the crime, were you seeking drug treatment anywhere or counseling?
No, I wasn't.
For help with your addiction? Have you sought anything like that since? I mean, I see that you've completed the Design for Living, which is a good program, a couple times, it looks like, Thinking Straight, Substance Abuse Education. Have you had any insights about yourself?
I don't know what you're really referring to.
I mean, have you had thoughts about why you would have done such a thing? Or, you know, what was going on in your mind at the time? Have you had any thoughts about that?
You know, it's hard to think about what was going on in your mind 30 years ago.
It is. But you've had 30 years to think on it, and I bet you've given this some thought.
Sure. Well,
did you have a good relationship with your parents?
No.
No, okay. So see, that understanding, that helps. What was your relationship with your parents?
It was very strained.
It was very strained. Okay. So had you been a good, your upbringing, had you been a pretty good kid and gone to school, or had you gotten in trouble? Had you been in trouble?
No, never with the law or anything like that.
Yeah, but with your parents, I mean, were you just a pretty normal kid, do you feel like?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah. So just I'm just curious, what would just make you do a thing like that? I mean, did you feel threatened by them?
Well, you know, I'm not... I don't want to say anything bad about my parents, so I'm just not going to speak about that.
Okay. All right, sir. All right. I also want to point out that we have a letter from someone named... it's hard to read her handwriting. I think her last name is West. Ginger West. Ginger...
Spriggs West.
And in her letter, she doesn't indicate her relationship to you. Is that a friend of yours, or?
Yes.
Okay. And she asks in her letter, she talks a little bit about the crime and says that you were part of a group of people, a group of friends, but that you were a shyer member of the group. You were evidently not one of the ringleaders, she felt. And she's asking that you be paroled to your next 25 to life sentence, sir. So I just want to mention that we have that letter of support for you. Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Quinones has a question for you, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mrs. Martinez. Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Gardner, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to begin by saying that this hearing is your right. Your sort of right that's sacred, and you will be treated fairly appearing before this board. I look at the personal development of the individual inside the prison, and as our panel lead has stated, it seems like that you've cleaned up, at least with the drug use, for a pretty good amount of time. But I'll ask you, and not with emotion, if you think we've already made up our mind, why are you even appearing before the board today?
Because it's my right to do so.
Well, I think that's why I went out of the way of saying that. We do want to hear from you. Go ahead, sir.
It just seems to me, I know a lot of people that go to the parole board hearings, and everybody that's like me that shows up for a parole board hearing and has nobody at the hearing speaking for them or anything like that generally gets turned down, and the people that have people there are the ones that get their parole, which can only lead someone to believe that you guys predetermine your decisions before we even get into the hearing.
Well, sir, I'm not going to get an argument with you, and I can see why you might make that assessment. I will also say we hear a lot of hearings every year. I think I did the math for my first year on the board, and I was surprised by just how many people or how many cases that I heard in that year. And the decisions are not uniform. I can't tell you how this board is going to vote today because we're individuals, we're independent, we respect our independence, we respect each other. There are certainly hearings where there's not agreement on the board. But as I stated, I'm looking at the personal development of an individual, and I think there's been a little bit of pushback from you today about where you're at in your rehabilitation. So I will ask you, because you feel strong about your right to this hearing, why do you think this board should pass you to your next consecutive sentence?
Well, like you can see, I haven't had a major ticket in over 10 years. I've done every programming that's been available to me. I've held a job the entire time I've been here. And I've already been to this board. This is, what, the fifth time? And it's not as if I'm trying to parole through the streets just to the next sentence. And it kind of boggles me that I'm still being refused it.
Well,
I don't know what else it is that I can do.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, Mr. Gardner, and I asked some very direct questions, and I think you were very direct in return. I appreciate that. But I have no further questions at this point. Thank you, Ms. Whitman.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Any other questions from board members? Okay. Dr. Wright, my question?
No.
Okay. So Mr. Gardner, just to follow up on what Mr. Quinones said, a lot of what we consider is what we hear from you today. So, you know, I may have spoken with you before, I'm not sure. I'll look back and see when your last hearing was. So I probably met you. Oh, except me, okay. So I'm hearing you for the first time today. I'm meeting you for the first time. So because the membership of this panel changes, we do not make our decisions ahead of time. So I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. And a lot of what influences our decision is what we hear from you today. So I want to encourage you, and you know, it may be frustrating to you because you've been here five times, but the panel is different, the board is different every time. So just be encouraged, and I would like to invite the county attorney on the phone listening, and we'd like to invite him if he wants to contribute anything to the record at this time, Mr. Gardner. So, is it Houston? Let me see.
Yes, good.
Oh, okay, thank you, sir. I had your name somewhere. Thanks. It's buried in all these papers. Would you like to contribute any information today, sir?
Yes, thank you. Thanks for giving the state the opportunity to appear. As was stated in the letter that was provided, the state is opposing any type of parole or release for Mr. Gardner at this time. And I'm just in the interest of time, I heard the summary that was provided by the board. I think the high points were hidden were hit by during the summary. Proposition at this point might be, well, first of all, I'd like to commend Mr. Gardner on having all that time of sobriety. I know that's a huge change, and he deserves to be commended for that. And it looks like he's been able to go an extended period of time without having violations. Those are all really good things that do point in his favor. I think what the state would be looking at the main opposition at this point would be based just on the, you know, the nature of the offenses, the nature of the offenses that they occurred. And then I don't know if it was spoken of, and I didn't hear much of a release plan. I mentioned that there's no family close by, and I don't know if he would be wanting to live with family or if that would even be an option. I think he was asked about a career choice. He hasn't given that a lot of thought. That would definitely be one thing that the state would be looking for with, would be, you know, what the plan is moving forward. And that would be a big thing. I can understand Mr. Gardner's, you know, the frustration that he dealt with this process. And but as I said, you know, at this point, the attitude still seems like maybe he has some, I don't know the best way to say, hard feelings towards the criminal justice system, and hasn't provided real actual things that we can point to show that he has been rehabilitated and you know, that he has a plan on how to move forward. Again, I would commend him for his willingness to participate in all the programming that's been provided for him. I think the state would be looking for continued periods of you know, compliant behavior with no violations and then a good plan for the future and a good positive attitude. Thank you. That's all I have today.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner, just a couple of final questions for me. How do you feel? I mean, you've been there incarcerated for quite a long time. You're still a young man. You're only 49. That's pretty young to me. How do you feel like you've changed? How is the Paul Gardner of today different from the Paul Gardner of 30 years ago?
It's night and day. There is no similarity, really.
Well, tell us, what is the difference? What? How were you then, and how are you now? Think about how you interact with other people, maybe, and how you know your view of your outlook on life. How are you different, sir?
It's hard to characterize. I would like to make one comment about what was just said before by the county attorney.
Sure.
And I know you guys speak about this, about a corrections plan and what my plans for the future are. And if you seem to hang on that point as if that has any bearing on this, if you give me parole, I won't see this board again for another 25 years. So it would be absolutely pointless of me to make any kind of career plan or plans of where I might live or anything else.
Right, and I said that right early in the hearing. I indicated that this was a parole to consecutive sentence. So
I know, I just wanted to reiterate that because every time this parole board has denied me, they brought that up as one of the reasons.
Well, and we do.
Lack of a parole plan, lack of any kind of community support, and there's no sense in me trying to establish any of that kind of stuff.
Understood. Understood. But it would be good to start thinking about it, sir. It would be a good thing to think about. Anyways, how are you different? Tell me how you're different. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but how are you different?
Well, I know when I was young, I was very quick to anger. You know?
Okay.
And there's reasons behind that, but I'm not going to get into that. But I no longer suffer from those problems. I almost never get angry. That's another problem with these hearings. You guys can't see me. You can't look at my eyes. We can't have any kind of real interaction so that you can actually learn what kind of a person I actually am now.
Well, what you can tell us about it, I mean, I appreciate you bringing that up, that you feel like you don't get angry quickly. And that's an important point. What else about you? I mean, what is there anything else that you can think of the way that you're different? I mean, what are your lives just like? What do you do for fun? I mean, back then it appears you were using drugs for fun. Did you have any other hobbies back then?
I was involved in music back then.
Okay. Are you still involved in that?
No, they don't allow it here.
Okay. What would you do for fun if you could now?
You mean at this time?
Yeah. What would you do?
The kind of stuff I do now, I work out, I play softball. A lot of the time I try to get the younger guys here, you know, try to get them to start working out, get themselves healthy, you know, change their heads before they get back out. That's really only thing I have in here.
So you're kind of working with other inmates to try to guide them, because you've been there a little longer.
I try to.
Were you a workout kind of a jock when you were younger, or no?
No, not at all.
Not at all. So that's something that's changed about you. So you're interested in health and fitness. What else? Have you gotten involved in the church at all?
No, not really.
Okay.
Some of not really religious.
Have you done anything like AA or NA?
Well, you can see all the times in the past I've done that. Okay. I don't do it anymore.
Okay, but you haven't.
Been in a number of slots for people, and I'd rather go to somebody who can benefit more from it.
I understand. That's a good thought. Okay.
There's a lot of other programs around here I would like to take, but they go off what is called a priority ranking list.
Exactly. Yeah.
Me being a lifer, I don't qualify for any of them.
Right.
I want to, I can't do it.
Understood. Okay, sir. Well, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, sir, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you thought of while we're talking that you would like the board to consider, sir?
No, nothing that hasn't already been said.
Okay, all right, sir. Do you want to be paroled to your consecutive sentence?
Yes, I would like to.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you for that. The board is going to go into discussion, and we do our discussion in public, as you know. So just stay on the phone and remain silent, and we will be back with you in just a moment. Okay, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Gardner, kind of just from one board member's viewpoint, kind of came out with his guns blazing. And I just felt like we got, you know, and I think Mr. Kinney almost used the word pushback. We got some pushback. But I think there's more to Mr. Gardner. I think he may have some slightly erroneous beliefs about parole and how it works. And the fact is, each hearing is unique, and what happens with one person, it has no bearing on what happens with another. Each person is unique and comes from a unique set of circumstances. And certainly, I've been on this board when we granted parole someone who had no one in the room. And so that's a belief I hope he's going to let go of, that we consider each individual for the case in particular. If we were to pull Mr. Gardner to his next sentence, as he says, the board wouldn't see him again for 25 years. But at that point, he'll still be a young man. He'll still be able to get around, work, and be active. I would like us to consider that. I'm a little put off by his initial attitude, but as we talked, and we talked some more, he kind of warmed up a little bit and was more disclosing with some information. I knew I would like to have heard from him more about what happened that day, but he just was not going to talk about it. So anyway, I am just starting the discussion with that. I am at this point either here or there on this. I mean, I'd like to be encouraging to him, but I'd also like to have a feeling like I had a very honest dialogue with him. I think we asked him some tough questions today. So any other thoughts, Mr. Quinones?
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I agree with you. find quite the right words, because these types of cases, in my opinion, are complicated. Certainly, as one voting board member, I can't be dismissive of a double murder case because of the violence, the ripple effect it has on the community. But I do, to a certain extent, understand his, I guess you could say, philosophical frustration, because some of the assessments that he's made, I have to respect. These are his assessments. He's been watching the process. He has some beliefs as to the fairness of the process, and of course, just having those feelings isn't enough to bypass the public safety issues that we have to consider. But I will tell you that it is not to fly in the face of victims or to be dismissive of the criminal justice system. He has served a considerable amount of time on this first sentence. He's made some really good moves towards his personal rehabilitation. And I'm not going to let his frustration bias me as to whether or not I think we can safely transition into the next consecutive sentence, and I'm taking that into consideration.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Munoz, I appreciate the way you phrased that, because that's kind of the way I feel, too. I don't want to let his frustration affect the way I'm thinking about this.
Well, pardon me, Mr. Munoz. I'm kind of a student of this process, too, and I recognize there comes a time for all individuals going through this process where frustration can be an overtake, and sometimes we even see individuals maybe lash out a little bit against the system because they stop believing or lose hope. And I don't think that's healthy. But we also have to consider public safety. That's always our number one concern. So I'll move it on. Thank you.
And Mr. Johnson.
I do understand what both of you are saying, and I do understand his frustration. But I just have known a reward, negative attitudes, for it. And certainly, I was impressed with the letter that his friend, Ginger, wrote on the first thing. I won't even know exactly who she was, because she said some very good things in here, and talked about him being a shy person when he was young, and the group that he hung around with, and she ended it up saying that she'd like to see him, paroled to his next consecutive sentence. But I do take offense with the attitude towards the board. I think we try to be fair, and basically, at least for me, I can only speak for myself, that I try to make a decision based on the person that come before this board when they come before this board, and them having the understanding of what the board's position is. And me, myself, I think that his position on it, filling that the board, because we parole a lot of people, and there's people that we don't parole, and there's certain things that go on inside the system that people are saying about the board, but I think we try to be very fair and understanding of what the situation is and what's occurring. So I think a lot of what we do when they come before the board is that we try to communicate with them, understand if they made a change, and the process and the progress that they're making. But many of those things we read, but the biggest part of it, I think, we get through the communication of having a communication, an open communication with that person to convince us that they are deserving of that right to be passed on to that next consecutive sentence, or even given parole. So.
That's okay. And any other comments from board members? Dr.
White? Just nothing else to be very brief. I do believe that he's made progress, and I commend him for that. I believe this might be, surmising in this case because some paperwork is not here, this might be my fourth time listening to him. I know the last two times I've listened to him because I chaired the hearings the last two times that he appeared before this board. I guess that one of the things that concerned me, and I do understand what you said, Madam Chair, and what Mr. Corrales has said, is that just a few things that I would like to have felt better about, despite the progress that he's made, and that is the his mindset at the time that the crimes were committed. And it takes something that's going on in one's mind, in my opinion, as a non-psychologist or non-psychiatrist or nothing of that nature, but something has to be going on in one's mind to commit that type of offense against a close family member or family members in this case. And he's still not willing to talk about it, and I think that he's had some training, maybe the wrong word, but some discussion with experts in the field over the years, but it's something that he's just not ready to really say what happened. And I think it would be in his own mind what really led him to do it. And I think before one can really accept what has happened, one has to admit that yes, I did it. This was in my mind when I did it, whether it was family. And I know he does not wish to say anything about his family, and I can appreciate that. He don't want to say anything negative about his family, but we, as a board, we've heard people say all kinds of things about family and non-family members and everything, and everything that's said in, among board members themselves is kept confidential. I am concerned. I'll stop at this. I'm concerned that we don't know more about the crime itself from his perspective. We have what the county attorney has said, we have what other information has been provided to the board, but we don't know from his perspective. So that's all I'm going to say, but thank you so very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mr.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up on that, too. And I think this is appropriate because there's kind of a one way or the other to the vote, and that is, one way or the other, I have heard this sets kind of hits the reset button, so to speak, in this dialogue, because regardless of how this board votes today, and I don't know how that's going to happen, I don't know how we're going to vote today, certainly the dialogue's not over. There will be more times before the board for other reasons. If it was a release type of situation, we'd be appearing before the board again for arrest or for report, but in this case, I recognize it's probably the next consecutive sentence. But the dialogue is not over, and I do hope that he considers hitting reset from his dialogue with the board. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, I'm going to make a motion then, and I'm going to move that we deny parole, 412B, and absolute discharge for Mr. Gardner. And that we exercise the 1 year set off for Mr. Gardner.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones. Agree. Both the way, Mr. Johnson, Ms. O'Neill. Okay, one more thing. Released and denied is 412B and 411 reasons for denial. It's obviously serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury, multiple victims. I'm not checking history of continued substance abuse because he has not. He has quit, and I certainly appreciate that. I'm not checking institution behavior. I'm not checking poor institutional behavior because he has not had that. No recent disciplinary, no history of assaultive behavior in prison. And I'm not going to, although I may be sure, but I'm not going to check for no release plan because we talked specifically about that. And he as he explained, he feels he's just going to a consecutive sentence and would not at this time we need a release plan, and I understand that. I understand his logic. And other than the one letter that we have, which is, as Mr. Johnson said, a very, that letter weighed definitely in the overall consideration. But I'm going to check no family and community support system. At this point, a system would imply more than one person being there. So back to you, Mr. Gardner.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Gardner, I don't want you to be discouraged again, but the board has denied your parole at this time. But, you know the adage, approach determines response. And, I mean, your attitude with this board was pretty, we got a lot of pushback from you. And what we want, I suppose I should ask you to think about what Dr. Wright said. And the reasons that we ask you about the crime, part of our job is public safety. And I know this is just two consecutive sentences, but we're also considering, we need to understand from you, using your words, because you are the only one who can tell us, what was going on, what would drive you to do such a thing? And that helps us understand whether you might ever do it again. That's why we're asking all the stuff about how you've changed and how you're different. And why you would want to be paroled, and what have you done to change yourself? And we commend you because you have done a lot to change yourself. You've stopped using drugs, and that's a big one. But sir, we want to have more dialogue with you. And I agree, we don't like the phone hearings as well either. I would like to be able to see you. But you know, you can get some from your voice as well. We do a lot of communication with our voice, and we can hear in your voice. We appreciate how you have been honest with this board today. I feel like you have. And you've been pretty direct. You expressed your frustration. But we would hope that you've got some time now to think about this, come back to the board, and I think this board wants to give you every consideration and will give you a fair hearing, sir. I just want you to know that. So Mr. Gardner, we do thank you for participating in your hearing today and being so frank with us. We really appreciate it. You'll become eligible in approximately a year for another hearing, sir. And we look forward to seeing you then and hearing how things are with you, sir. So we thank you for your participation. Your hearing is concluded, and we'd appreciate if you put the CO3 or the next individual on the phone there, sir. Thank you, Mr. Gardner, and thank you, Mr. Houston.
Thank you, Bart.